Hello and welcome to YHTV's new series, Empowerment Through Positive Psychology. And today what we're going to bring to you is an excerpt from one of our Magical Medical Tours episodes, number 82, with Marissa Pay, Psychology for the Corporation and Individual. She's magnificent. I hope you enjoy this clip, and this is just a piece of what we will be bringing to you in 2014.
How do people find their mission?
Well, you have to get out of bed. That's the first thing.
Excellent.
So staying in bed, and you have to get in touch with the core of who you are, and that means getting past the busyness of what you're doing and the critical voices that are in your head, the monkey brain, as they call it, or I call it my committee in my head. I have a CEO that knows what everybody's supposed to be doing, a CFO that's always worried about money, and an auditor that's criticizing me no matter what I say and do. It's not good enough. You should have done this. You shouldn't have done that. You should have said this. You shouldn't have said that. So getting past that critic and going into the core of who you are. And that's why I teach Tai Chi Gong, as well as, you know, I'm a big fan of yoga, because it helps us get past that critical mind into the connection of our heart, which is connected to the source of life, which is where the joy is. So I lost my question there. I'll do that sometimes. I'm warning you. But that's how we find who we are and what we're supposed to be doing. In fact, I have a friend. She doesn't have an answering machine. She has a questioning machine. And when you call her, it says, "Who are you and what do you want?" And those two questions are the most important questions to ask yourself over and over and over at every juncture, so that you're clear as to who you are and what you're supposed to be doing. So a lot of us, myself included, get caught up, you know, in this storybook life that we think is supposed to be our life. So many of us grew up on Cinderella, Snow White, the gospel according to fairy tales. And so I thought that if I, you know, went to school, got a degree, got a job or career, got married, had children, I would live happily ever after. Well, look at me. There is no happily ever after. That is a fantasy, okay? And it's really it really leads you down a path where you are scrambling constantly trying to be happy. You think that if I have 10,000 in the bank, I'll be happy. If I have 100,000 in the bank, I'll be happy. If I have a million in the bank, I'll be happy. If I, you know, meet my soulmate, I'll be happy. If I have children, I'll be happy. And or if I get that second house or the house on the beach or the second car. And what I've learned myself and working with many very successful people who have all of those things, that does not bring happiness. That if we are constantly looking for happiness or an identity of who I am outside of ourselves, we are not going to be happy. Because then we're always looking for what I call relational definitions of who I am. People say, well, I'm a mother, I'm a consultant, I'm a talk show host, I'm a teacher. And so you define yourself by what you do or your relationship with another person. And you know, I hate to tell you this, but shiitake happens, and you're not going to be perfect at whatever you are in a relationship with, or who you are, or how you're defining yourself, if you're defining yourself by what you do or who you are. So you're constantly on that hamster wheel trying to be the perfect mother, or the perfect teacher, or the perfect boss, and again, that does not bring happiness, because usually perfectionists, or I'm a recovering perfectionist, or also known as a control freak, you know, it's not 100% anything. Shiitake happens, and if I get 99 compliments on how great of a mom I am, and I one time scream at the top of my lungs in frustration, I am now thinking about how horrible of a mom I am, and I'm constantly trying to make that up. You know, substitute, worker, supervisor, whatever you want to substitute that with. So if I define myself in who I am as what I do or my relationship or my role, then I am not going to find out how to make myself happy or if I'm happy or who I am. If, on the other hand, I go back to the source and I go back to who I am outside of the critical head and connect with taking a deep breath in, gently eyes closed, and being quiet and find myself under that critic, under the role, under the relationship, and define myself as the core of who I am, then I can find what it is that makes me happy in what I'm doing and what I'm accomplishing in life. So for those of you who are listening and who are not happy, and usually this happens around midlife. This is the what I call the big midlife crisis. There really is a midlife crisis, because I think that, you know, that book, that belief system, the Cinderella story breaks down somewhere around midlife. And all the things that you thought would make you happy don't make you happy anymore. And the things that you really want, you have no control over. So you want great health. You want a great family. You want a great partner. You want a great career. You want a great job. And you find yourself laid off, divorced. Your kids hate you. Mine are teenagers, which just comes with the territory. All those things that so your nest egg is gone, because you either got laid off or you know, the economy has shifted. So now, if I live in the space of that fantasy or that Cinderella story, I am going to now say, okay, I guess the rest of my life is hopeless. I'm hopeless. So at this midlife juncture, it is critical to use the most powerful thing that we have in this lifetime, which is choice, to change the way that we view our lives, to change the way that we see what our life is supposed to be. So if I'm no longer happy, or I want to be more happy and I want more joy in my life, I have a choice. I can see this thing called life differently than how I saw it before. So my expectation now is, you know what? It is not my entitlement to come into this lifetime to be entitled to a normal, healthy, loving, unconditional loving home. And it is not my entitlement to play by the Cinderella rules, which is if you work hard, then nothing bad happens to you, and you make a lot of money, and you get to retire, and then live on the beach and drink pina coladas. That no longer is the construct to bring us happiness. Even and trust me, even when people had a lot of money, it was still not the construct for happiness. I worked with people who had all of that, who made $5 million a year, and they were asking me, why am I not happy? Okay, now I know there's some of you out there that are just like, well, I didn't get my chance at the $5 million. Give me $5 million. I promise you I will be happy. Okay, we can do that too. We can do that too. But in the meantime, I want you to use the life balance tool of choice and decide that I can be happy without $5 million. I can be happy even if I get laid off. I can be happy even if I am not in a relationship with a soulmate. I can be happy even if there's shiitake raining down all over the place. I can be happy even if I am not in perfect health, because that is the lemonade I am trying to get you to drink. I'm not trying to get you to drink Kool-Aid, but I am trying to help. That's my beneficial presence on the planet. I realize that because I'm so shy, Sarcasm is another service I offer. Because I have gone through things like extreme physical abuse as a child. I have gone through a $480,000 divorce that I'm paying for. I have gone through a major hip replacement and three major surgeries a couple years ago. I have I had a lot of difficult growing up not white in a white place where I had a lot of discrimination going on. I have lived a place where I've been betrayed over and over and over again. And I can tell you that I would not trade any one of those experiences in my life because they made me who I am right now. And who I am right now, I'm very clear that I'm not perfect, but 88% of me is pretty darn good. And I love my life. No matter what happens, I love my life because I choose to put on my life jacket with a silver lining. Perfect. In everything, there is a choice. I can either look at best case scenario or worst case scenario. I can focus on how horrible my lemon is and how sour it is, or I can choose to make lemonade in time. I'm not saying that you should, you know, walk around in denial and say, I'm fine, you know, like that Seinfeld episode where what's-his-name's dad walked around and went, serenity now, serenity now, serenity now. And at the end of the episode, he like smashed $2 million worth of computers from all the pent-up stress. I'm not saying that we should not feel frustrated. Absolutely. I'm not saying we shouldn't feel sad. We should feel sad. When horrible things happen, it's part of our heart. We should cry. Tears are the disinfectant that make our heart soft. It's important to feel fully human all the time. But we have a choice on whether we want to stay pretty much above sea level or stay below sea level. And so the feelings below sea level are those that don't feel great. We don't have to stay there. We can feel frustrated and curse at the guy who just cut us off and let it go without using our fingers, or just go take the breath in. Oh, I'm sure I've cut off someone before. God bless them. They obviously need it. And then that's the vent. And then we focus on, wow, look at the beautiful silhouette of the palm trees while I'm sitting in traffic. It's a choice. But I know that it makes me feel better when I'm not marinating in that negativity, in that angst, in that worry, because worry is not a paying job.
That's a good point. You know, you mentioned so many things there, Marissa. You mentioned storybooks and kids and teenagers and everything else. I know that as an author, you wrote a very interesting book called Mommy, What Are Feelings? And I remember in my life growing up, I never asked that question, and I would guess that most people never asked that question. How does that book fit into the essence of your mission?
It's one of my proudest creative endeavors, and the book is called Mommy, What Are Feelings? And each feeling has a taste, touch, sight, and sound. And each feeling was actually illustrated by my daughters when they were 3 and 5 years old. And each page has a place where the child is encouraged to draw their own feelings. It's over there. I don't know if I can grab it or not, but I wasn't prepared to actually show you the book. But if you if you come visit me this week at the Braveheart Women's Conference, I'll be in the ballroom actually doing a book and DVD signing, so you can see it then. But it's one of my proudest because it's used for autistic children across the nation to help them express their feelings, and so I'm very, very proud of that. What happens in this thing called life when we grow up in school, in our traditional school system, and they do the best that they can. And I am grateful. My kids are in a great school system. I love the administrators and the teachers. They've had a great time going through that system. But the way that our school systems work, we don't talk about feelings. We have classes in math. We have classes in social sciences. The closest we get is health. We expect our homes to talk about things like feelings and relationships and how to get along, or the church. Well, there's a lot of people who've developed an allergy towards church in this generation, largely because a lot of us grew up with a God who needs anger management classes. So that area of teaching is sort of gone by the wayside. Family systems, and I love my family, and a lot of us, you know, I think Oprah says, I say like it's 7 out of 10, I think, based on Psychology Today research, have grown up in dysfunctional homes. And Oprah says it's as high as 8. And that system doesn't necessarily teach us well about feelings or relationships as well, because we are condemned to repeat our past, and our parents do the best that they can. And I will guarantee you, if you grew up in a family of abuse, if you look back the generation before, it's just a pattern that's repeating itself, because there's no way to remedy that, because we're not specifically taught. Whereas I'm grateful that our generation is the first generation, really, that has been able to make it okay to go for help in therapy, to make it that there's a lot of books in self-help that help. So this is the Stephen Wright line that I love is, the only thing wrong with the gene pool is there's no lifeguard. So this generation, we are starting to recognize that we have to learn differently in order to stop the dysfunction in the home. So that's another, you know, you asked earlier what my job is in this lifetime. It's also to help with that. So my radio show, the work that I do writing, the work that I do on TV is all towards that. And there's so many of us now that are recognizing that, the whole, you know, the whole burgeoning, your show, the burgeoning of yoga as well. We're all getting Agape International Spiritual Center. That's where I get my positive roots watered. The Chopra Center. There's so many places now, and we're starting to really come together to recognize that this thing called learning how to have better relationships and not to have dysfunction in the home, or as I say, trying to learn how to put the fun back into dysfunction. It's all the effort that we are, you know, the book, the Mommy, What Are Feelings? It's all to make it okay to be human and to recognize that if we can embrace this thing called feelings, to not marinate in the feelings that are hurting us, are not act and getting in our way of happiness, but also embracing those feelings. Now, the good news is that there is a recognition that we're not happy. And we're talking about those feelings of not happy. Unfortunately, I think the pendulum has gone way to the other side, where all we're talking about is feelings, and we have this flawed premise that we're supposed to be happy all the time. So what do? We're American. We don't like to work at things too long. We want an instant answer. And that's why I think 1 out of 4 Americans is on prescription medication, because they go to the doctor. The doctor says, oh, you're not happy. Here, take this. And then if you watch the side effects, it just always amazes me how people are taking all these drugs when it is so blatant that the side effects are going to kill you. So, or make you even worse place than you started. If I was feeling occasionally unhappy, now I'm going to have thoughts of suicide because I'm taking this drug. Anyways, that's another show. the fact of recognizing our feelings. And as you said, Glenn, you grew up not understanding or being able to fully express your feelings. It is important that children understand that feelings are important, but balance that out with, it's not all about feelings. Feelings are just a guidance system to get us back on track. So when I'm feeling really angry, It's a signal that there's something that I have to adjust to get back to that natural good feeling center that I have. Statistics show that children on average laugh 400 times a day. Adults, on the other hand, laugh 40 times a day. So there's something off kilter there. What we want to capture as a child is have the child teach us how to be really cognizant of our feelings and get to that natural good feeling place that we are. For those of you who are studiers of the vortex or Abraham and Esther and Jerry Hicks' work, you can hear some of the words that I'm using, law of attraction. It is wonderful that medical science is now validating all those things in those teachings where it is good for us to be in a positive, happy place. It is not good for us health-wise to stay in there. Deepak Chopra cites, I believe, the Harvard Medical School study that says there are two emotions that will hurt our body, mind, spirit, and soul health-wise. Anger and hostility. There are three emotions that give us and our cells and our body, those 50 trillion cells, a wonderful way of working together. And that's peace, love, which are kind of, you know, expected. And then the surprising one for me was creativity, which is why in my shows, I'm constantly, you know, how does creativity express in you? So feelings are important. Good feelings are super important. So in this thing called life, am I aware of what I am feeling? And that book, Mommy, What Are Feelings? You can use it as an adult to find out where you're feeling. Get cognizant about where I'm feeling and then move to a better feeling place. Because that is what we're supposed to do in this life. We're not supposed to marinate in anger, resentment, hopelessness, fear, worry, doubt. We're not supposed to be there. We can feel it. And as soon as we feel it, that's a signal that we are not in our center. We're not in our balance. As Esther says, we're not in our vortex. And that's just a clear signal. How do I get back there? Do I need to forgive someone? Do I need to let something go? Do I need to give a compliment instead of a criticism? Do I need to keep my word to myself that I said I was going to get up and go for a walk? I'm feeling bad because I'm not going for a walk. Well, let's go for a walk. Let's just go. Let's just, as one of my teachers, Edwin Gain, says, let's exercise the gospel according to Nike and just do it.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that moment with Marissa Pay. And that was only an excerpt from the one-hour show on Magical Medical Tour, episode 82, Psychology for the Corporation and Individual. It's a pretty magnificent episode, so please do enjoy. And again, if you have any comments or questions that you would like to share with Marissa Pay or Dr. Glenn Woolman, please type it into the comment box down there on your screen. Or if you prefer, you can call us at 818-LET'S-TALK, 818-LET'S-TALK. And leave your name and your question or comment and your contact number, the best way for us to contact you back so that you know that we got your comment or suggestion or question and we can actually reply to you. So if you enjoyed that, I look forward to sharing with you more on our Empowerment Through Positive Psychology series. Be sure to check out also our new slate of shows for 2014. This is not the only one that is new. There is quite a few more coming. And we look forward to having you play with us in our virtual sandbox. Until next time, I'm Christina Suzuma. Namaste. YHTV's Magical Medical Tour. Come join Dr. Glenn Woolman and Christina Suzuma as they journey through the healthcare galaxy interviewing doctors, healthcare practitioners in the attempt to share ways to achieve optimal health. Join us on yogahub.tv every Tuesday at 10:30 a.m. Pacific, 1:30 p.m. Eastern.